discussion on that last week.
Isn't that something? Okay, I have to say this. There's a hole in this Bible. Sorry, I saw it. I had to mention something. Look at this. Don't put your Bible in front of the projector, apparently. Right. Not today, but but this is now, as Jim has said, a holy Bible. That's amazing.
I've never seen that.
Well, I smelled something, looked over, there was my biophone. And then I bought another one, and I'm getting used to that. But you know how a Bible is? You know where a certain thing is on the page? Yeah, so you got to go back to that. I wonder what the next generation is going to do with their iPods. And they got the Bible on the iPod, and they'll do that for 20 years. Will they have a familiarity with the Bible like the older generation has, or not?
I use one all the time. You don't have nearly the familiarity.
Yeah.
Unless you can highlight pages, if you have
Well, the jury's still out on that one. We haven't done it long enough to figure out whether it's an advantage or disadvantage. Anyway, I want to go back to the to your discussion and just kind of hear from you what you talked about and what correlations you find between what we talked about, the apostolic effort and the insider, how that applies to you here. So what went on in your group?
I like what Dan shared about from his experience being an insider in a group of hockey players, but then having a sort of an apostolic function with the students that he teaches in the classroom. Because they're insiders and then with a different teacher as well.
We had a couple of discussions.
Yeah.
We were a little all over the place. So the first couple were around morality in the sense of when you have people who are non-believers who are blatantly outside of the word of God, how do you treat them? What do you do? And when you have believers who are blatantly outside of the word of God, and so in faith we discuss the fact that you have to treat them somewhat differently, but the bottom line is Jesus is, you have to have grace for both and love for both. And perhaps with a believer it's still different because there should be some accountability depending on the situation. We also talk about how you really almost have to look at the individual situation. Who is it? Who are they in relation to you? But bottom line, it's about love and grace. And that part? Have we talked about insider?
Ross and Lori helped us weave it right into the insider apostolic context for sure. Well done.
And we can weave it back into that. Do you want to take it there?
No, not at all.
So we woke back to insider and he had a good question as to how do we back to insider, okay, how do we become the insider? And how do we bring a message to different places, whether it's in a different country or in world of non-believers? And we talked about what Paul did, we looked for the low-hanging fruit. We had Julie suggest we look for the influencer. And that's our way in to finding the insider and making a difference. And
that's profound. Because it's all to do.
Exactly. Bring us back to the center,
right? Okay, well, sticking to this topic, what did the other groups talk about in relation to this topic? that
she had a lot of.
Well, the you relate to, you know, how do you relate to the unbeliever that's, you know, just obviously outside the framework of behavior, and the believer? Did you talk about that at all?
Talked about those wives again, I think, Steve.
Oh, yeah. We did talk a little bit about Dan's example and how that fits into many of our examples of real life stuff. And how we fit that in as believers, you know, and we kept referring back to the one comment you made, Jim, which is different levels of grace, different applications require different contexts, different levels of grace, and yet it's still all in within an appropriate response mechanism as believers to both unbelievers and inside.
I think the one conversation Alex and I had a little bit earlier, then we were kind of having a breakfast, as an insider, keeping your intentionality over 10, 15, 20 years with a group of people, around the reason I'm here is, A, I love to play whatever or work with you and do whatever, but I have this other calling, and that's to be this witness to you all the time. Mm-hmm. And how do you keep that lit when at the apostolic level you may see fruit quickly and often? At the insider level, that may be a very different photo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a challenge.
Yeah. We're going to get into that next. Yeah. Anything more from your groups that would be important?
We talked a little about what should we avoid so that an insider stops being an insider if we're trying to help. Like, how do we derail them so they become outsiders?
I didn't follow that. Start again.
No, we talked about what we want to avoid doing so an insider can become an outsider.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah.
Sometimes they feel like they need to clean up their act and leave all their friends and get involved with the center of church activities, and they leave the group they had influence in.
Yeah. Like, we moved back from Brazil. I have twin daughters. And they were 15 at the time, bad time for a kid to have to move, change cultures and languages and everything. And so they didn't have any friends. They're in a new neighborhood. We were living, moved to Colorado Springs. And so we had some friends that were part of a youth group. They're in a church not far from our house. And so our daughters, they're, you know, hanging out with them. And they'd grown up being comfortable with unbelievers. I mean, that was the story of our lives. We had, you know, unbelievers around all the time. And so one day she was on a trip, bus ride up the mountain there in Colorado Springs, going up to I don't know where. And it was with the youth group in this church. And the youth pastor came and sat down beside Rochelle, one of counseled her, and she came back home to me, and she was in tears, and she said, "Dad, is it wrong for me to have non-Christian friends?" And I said, "Where did you ever get that?" And she said, "Well, that's what my youth pastor just told me." And so I had to take her to the scriptures, you know, Luke 19:10, among other things, you know, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And you know, your focus is among the lost, and she's comfortable doing that. So that's the very thing, you know, where there's often social pressure on people, you know, that are part of, you know, the evangelical community to withdraw as it's part of a statement of their sincerity about following Jesus. And so that's something we have to work against. And so. Fortunately, she brought that to me, and I was able to show her what the scripture said.
Did you go talk to the youth pastor?
You know, there's some fights you don't want to go. Not worth it. But I'll tell you this, these twins, and so I just kind of helped them with that. And they ended up, yeah, that group happened to know 22 friends, and none of them were believers. And today, all but one are believers, and, you know, married to guys that have come to Christ, and they have children, and, you know, it's multiplied, and I'm sure, you know, there'd be well over 100 people involved, that these two high school girls, they began to, wow, to be fruitful among them. And there was another illustration of insidership, and so it's a delight. Well, I want to get back to, did you make any progress on talking about this dynamic in relationship to what's going on here among you in this room in a larger scale?
One of the things that, I'm not sure if I'm tracking with you on your question, but what's occurred to me as we've been, you know, you've been talking today is, who are the insiders that I know, and what can I do to encourage them in their role?
Yeah.
So they don't lose their influence where they are. And then, you know, the other side of it is more on the, my own role as an insider in a couple of different circles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like there's a dual function.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing the apostolic role on one side, but on the other side, I am an insider.
Yeah. And that's true. That's right.
I don't know if that answers your question. Probably didn't make any
Well, I'm hoping before we're done here that we get beyond that. I find that that's been my story is I do apostolic things with people working around, but then that doesn't exempt me, yeah, from, you know, my neighbors and my friends and things like that. So, yeah.
Isn't it true too though that if you're doing some apostolic work, that the potential is the people you're doing apostolic work with become your insiders?
That's true too.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true too. Well, okay, I'm going to turn it back over to, we got a couple of stories here coming up.
More stories.
Yeah.
Henry and Liz Jansen from London are going to come on now and share a few thoughts that have been yet. And then Esau is going to tell us the story.